Morning. Today's Dafim Sachim Samach Dal. We're on the bottom of Samach Gimel Amud Beis. We're starting with the words Amar Rav Papa. It's about two lines before the lines start getting wide. We are towards the end now of the fifth parak of Pesachim. Five parakim here in the middle of Pesachim, or second half of Pesachim, if you will. Five through nine, which deals with the Karban Pesach. We have been dealing extensively with a lot of halachas of Kachim. I spent a lot of time with Machshavas, the Machshava of the Kohen, while doing the Avoda. Machshav Lishmo, Machshav Shalol Lishmo, Machshav of Ochlin, Shalol Ochlin. That consumed a lot of our time. But yesterday in the Mishnah, Mishnah introduced us to an Isser in the Torah. The Torah introduces us to an Isser on two occasions. One in Parshas Mishpatim, the other time in Parshas Kisi. So you're not allowed to shech the Karban Pesach while in possession of Chametz. It's a lav in the Torah. Now there is, as we discussed yesterday, obviously there is a general lav of owning Chametz. The fact that you own Chametz after Chatzos already in of itself represents one lav, but there's a secondary lav. And that secondary lav is that while you own the Karban Pesach, you also shecht while you own Chametz, you also shecht Karban Pesach, so you're going to be subject to a lav in the Torah. This lav is going to be a lav sheish b'maisa, meaning that the lav over here is the act of shechita. In other words, the act of shechting while you're in possession of Chametz. So that is that's a violation of the, of this particular lav, and you're doing so with an action. And so therefore it's going to be subject to Malkus. We already discussed yesterday, briefly, who is going to be subject to the Isser. Rashi makes a comment at the end of, at the end of Samach Yom Amin Aleph, where Rashi says that everyone involved in this particular Karban Pesach, meaning the Shocheden and all the members of the Chabura. Tosus on the top of Samach Yom Amin Beis, he says that the only one who's going to be receiving the Malkus is going to be the actual Shochet, which, as Tosus himself points out, makes a lot of sense because he's the one who's doing the Maisa, he's doing the actual Shechita. And the Isser presumably is going on the Shochet or on the Zorek. Good. So this is what we went through yesterday. We also went through a machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan yesterday in terms of where does the chametz have to be, meaning the violation is set up when one of the members of the Chabura own the chametz. Does the chametz have to be here present in the Azar with us while we're shechting the Karban Pesach? Reish Lakish says yes. Rav Yochanan says no. And the Gemara went on to explain that machlokas. We are now towards the bottom of the Amud Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa now is going to make a point. Now he's starting off with the words hilchach, therefore, and that means to say, that he's jumping off of a previous point. So what was the previous point that the Gemara just made? So the Gemara just made that in order for a violation of this particular Isser, of Lo Sishchad al Chametz Dam Zivchi, so it has to be that a member of your Chabura has to be in ownership of Chametz. It is simply going to be insufficient if somebody owns Chametz, but rather every member of this particular Chabura has got to be in ownership of the, of Chametz. Good. So that's what the Gemara just got done saying. How did the Gemara know that? So the Gemara says, because you look at the juxtaposition of the pasuk itself. In other words, the Torah introduces us to Lo Sishchat, and in that very same pasuk, also Lo Yalin. So you're not allowed to leave over, meaning from the Karban Pesach, you're not allowed to leave over anything till the next morning. And you're not allowed to make Nosar. So the Gemara says, whoever's subject to Lo Yalin, meaning the members of this Chabura, is also going to be subject to Lo Sishchat, meaning it has to be Chametz of somebody of this particular Chabura. Good. So that's what the Gemara said yesterday, and Rav Papa now is going to be jumping off exactly that point. Amar Rav Papa, Hilkach. Therefore, Kohen HaMakter Sechelev over below Sase. So let's say you have the Kohen who is burning the fats. So of a Karban Pesach now. So we have already established that the Kohen who shechs is subject to the Isser. The Kohen who does the Zrika is subject to the Isser. And so now Rav Papa would like to add that even the Kohen who's going to be burning the fats, taking the fats of this Karban Pesach, putting it onto the Mizbeach, which is what you're supposed to do. However, it happens to be that either this Kohen or a member of this Chabura is in ownership of Chametz. So Rav Papa says that this Kohen now who's Maktir, who's burning the fats, he's also going to be subject to this Isser. Now, how do I know that? Because he's going to make now the same exact point. Since he's also subject to the Halanas Imurim, meaning the Kohen right now is prohibited by the Torah to leave over the Chalev till tomorrow. Actually, the Chalev has to be put on already before the day comes to an end. But since he's included in the Isser of Halana, he also is going to be included in the Isser of Lo Sishchat. Tanya Kavasi, the Rav Papa, the Gemara now quotes a Braisa that's going to be fully supportive of this Chiddush of Rav Papa, that the Maktir also is going to be subject to this love. How do I know that? The Braisa reads, Hashochet is the Pesach Halacham, it's over below Sase. Somebody who shechs the Karm Pesach while somebody owns Chametz. Again, that somebody could be the Kohen or any member of the Chabura. So he's going to be in violation of this love. Emasai Bisman Shula Shochet Lozar Kolachamim Ne Chabura. The Braisa says it out. Either the one who shechs, the one who does the zrika, the any member of the chabura. Hayla echa besofa olam ein zakuk lo. Now, if somebody else, an outsider, doesn't matter who, if anybody else owns chametz, so for that person who owns chametz, it's a problem. But for this particular group, so it doesn't affect them whatsoever vis-a-vis their karm pesach. Ve'echad ashochet ve'echad azorek ve'echad amakdir chayav. And here now, this is the line of the braisa. And the one who shechs and the one who does zrika and echad hamakdir. And the one who burns the fats, meaning the Kohen who participates in this portion of the Avoda, he's going to be subject to this law of the Torah. Good. So the Braisa here is a clear support for the Shita of Rav Papa. Aval hamolek esof barba sarino over below klum. A Kohen who does malika. Now, malika, of course, is with a bird. If you're unfamiliar with the Avoda of malika, I'm not going to go through any detailed discussion right now, but basically it's the Avoda in which you prepare an oaf. So if you do that on the 14th, you're not in violation of this particular Isser. Now, there's a host of reasons why. Let's just simply say primarily, the bird's not your Karm Pesach, right? Your bird is can be offered as a Chatos. Bird can be offered as an Ola. That's it. A bird is not going to be offered as your Karm Pesach. The Torah is very clear, right? Last week's Parsha. Torah is very clear about which animals can be offered as a Karm Pesach. It's either going to be a sheep or a goat. Okay, anyway. So the Kohen who does Malika Sa'of with the, while in the possession of Chametz is not going to be in violation of this sister. Good. So really done. Obviously there's more to go in this particular sugya, but the Gemara now has just reinforced the Chiddush of Rav Papa. Continuing, however, Raminu. Now, as long as we quoted this Braisa, the Gemara says, I'm going to quote now a comparative Braisa, very similar Braisa, but you'll notice, however, there are going to be a couple of changes in this second Braisa we're about to learn. And the Braisa we just got done learning. Hashochet is a Pesach al chametz over below sase. Good. So this Braisa starts off with the same point. Shechting karm pesach while in possession of chametz, you violate this law. Rabbi Yehuda amar afa tamid. Rabbi Yehuda says even the karm tamid, meaning the tamid shel bein arbayim, also going to be subject to this law. This sheet of Rabbi Yehuda we were introduced to in our Mishnah in yesterday's daf. Amru lo, they say to Rabbi Yehuda lo. Amru ala be pesach bavad. What are you talking about? The Isser over here is only for the Karm Pesach and no for no other carbon. That's if either the Shochet or the Zorig or any member of the Chabura is owning Chametz. So here the Braisa sounds familiar. It's the same point that we saw in the previous Braisa. If somebody else owns Chametz, so it's not our problem vis-a-vis this particular lav. Who's going to be subject to this Isser? The one who does Shechita, the Kohen does Shechita, the Kohen does Rika, the Kohen who does Malika, the Kohen who does Mazeh, that's the sprinkling of the blood of the oath. So he's going to be Chayev. So already you see now we have a problem. This Bryce is telling us clearly that a Kohen doing Malika is going to be Chayev. That's an issue. Avala Komets. As a mincha in over below sase, but doing kamitza on a mincha, not going to be in violation of this law. Amakters imurim in over below sase, and also burning of the imurim are not going to be subject to this law. Okay, so now if you've been following carefully these two brisas, not only is there one problem, there actually are two problems. And the Gemara now highlights both of the problems. We're on the top of Samach Dalmad Aleph, Kasha, Malika, Malika, Kasha, Haktara, Ahaktara. So you put the two braisas side by side, a side by side comparison leads us to two difficulties. One is that in braisa number one, Malika is not subject to this law. In braisa number two, it is. Two is that in braisa number one, the Kohen who's maktir while in possession of chametz is violating this law. And in braisa number two, he's not. Okay, so we have now two problems. So two difficulties. Ula tamech, the Gemara says, okay, but let's just dig a little bit deeper into this problem. Tikshilachi gufa. Even without putting the brisa side by side, even if I just look at the second brisa independently, it's still a little bit difficult. Because if you follow the second brisa carefully, it says that this lav is only limited to the Karban Pesach. And then the brisa says, and you know, if you do shchita or zrika or malika. Now again, as we already pointed out, malika can't be from the Karban Pesach. You're not offering a bird as a Karban Pesach. Clearly the malika is for some other carbon. And so what that presents to us now is a really simple problem. Meaning the brisa opens up, just the second brisa in of itself, opens up about how this lav is exclusive to the Karban Pesach. And now it's talking about malika. That's really difficult. So Allah Havaha Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara now is going to be offering a really creative and good pshat in the second brisa. And that is the author of the second brisa is Rabbi Shimon. And Malika lo kashkam barbasar kam b'chol shalom aved, v'idi Rabbi Shimon hi. So, and here's what we're going to say. Now, in order to understand this answer, appreciate the answer, we're going to go back to what we learned yesterday. In the mission, yesterday's daf, there were three opinions. Tanakama, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon. Now, of the three opinions, Tanakama is the easiest to explain. This law only applies to Karban Pesach. Rabbi Yehuda is also pretty easy. It applies to Karban Pesach and to the Talmid Shel Bein Arba'im of Erev Pesach. And then there's the Shita Rabbi Shimon. Now, Rabbi Shimon, it's a mouthful. The Shita Rabbi Shimon. But let's go over it outside, not in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon says like this. On Erev Pesach itself, this lav of not shechting while owning chametz is specific only to the Karban Pesach and to no other carbon. That's on Yudalit. Then, according to Rabbi Shimon, from Tesvav to Chaf Aleph, meaning the entirety of Pesach, from the 15th to the 21st of Nisan, so then this lav is going to be for any carbon outside of the Karban Pesach, meaning that you shecht any carbon during this period of time while owning chametz, so you're going to be subject to this lav. That's the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Good. So Rabbi Shimon is really introducing two novel ideas. One is that this lav extends beyond the 14th. And two is that there are two versions of this lav. Not two versions, but two different time periods of this lav. On the 14th, this lav only covers the Karban Pesach. And from 15th through 21, it covers all other karbanos. Okay. Now with that in mind, now you understand that we could say the second brisa is going like Rabbi Shimon, and now the Gemara is going to be giving excellent pshat in the brisa. When the brisa opens up by saying let's start off like this. The entire brisa goes going like Rashita's Rabbi Shimon. Good. Now from there, part one of the brisa talking about how it's only exclusive to Karban Pesach, that's the part of the brisa describing the 14th. Then when the brisa talks about Shchita and Zrika and Malika, that's talking about from days 15 through 21. Good. So it really is a excellent way to say a pshat in the brisa. Now, haftarik tami nami lokasha. Now, as far as the discrepancy between brisa number one, brisa number two, regarding haktara, the burning of the fats, that's also not going to be difficult. So tanahi diikidamakshi haktara l'shchita v'ikidamandalomakish. So the Gemara over there just simply says that some have the hekesh and connect the haktara to the shchita and some do not. Okay, so the Gemara says, as far as that's concerned, it's just a question of whether you subscribe to a hekesh or whether you do not subscribe to a hekesh. And as Rashi over here points out, even in this answer, the Gemara is assuming that both brises are going like the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Okay, Adkan, that takes us now to the end of that section. And we're just finishing up before we get to the next Mishnah, just to try to source all the other opinions in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Afatamid, my time of the Rabbi Yehuda, the reason behind Rabbi Yehuda, that this lav of shechting while owning chametz is not only just for the Karban Pesach, but also for the Karban Tamid as well. The source, Amar Lei Zivchi, the Pasuk says, Mishpatim, Los Yishchan al chametz dam Zivchi. Now what Zivchi means, my Zevach. So Zevach HaMiyuchadli, something that's special to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my Neo Tamid. That carbon which is special to Kadosh Baruch Hu, so that's the carbon Talmud. Okay, so that's the source behind Shita's Rabbi Yehuda. And presumably what the Tanakhama would say is that, no, the Pasuk over here is talking about the carbon Pesach. The Miyuchah, the special, the unique carbon that's being described in Parshas Mishpatim is actually the carbon Pesach. Rabbi Shimon Omer, HaPesach Ba'ar Basar. Now the Shita Rabbi Shimon. So we just went over what is the Shita Rabbi Shimon, and now the Gemara is going to go over the source of the Shita Rabbi Shimon. My time in the Rabbi Shimon dechsiv zivchi zivchi trei zimni. So the Gemara now notes that there are two psukim that highlight this sister. Again, one in Parshas Mishpatim, a second time in Parshas Kisisa. Once in Perek Chav Gimel, the other in Perek Lamedal. Yesterday, we went through both both Pesukim. But the Pesukim are awfully similar to one another. Subtle differences between the two Pesukim. But anyway, so Kari Bay Zevach Zivchai. So the Gemara now is going to do the following, and that is, it's going to take a yud from one of the Pesukim and move it over to the other Pasuk. So this cutting and pasting of letters. So it is a Midah Shatar Nidreshes Bahem. It's not one of the Yud Gimel Midah Shatar Nidreshes Bahem. It's not one of the 13. It's just simply another way. It's another methodology of how to darshan. And it happens occasionally throughout Shas. And here is an example in explaining Shita of Rabbi Shimon. So Zevach Zivchai. So now when we take the Yud and we move it from one to the other. So that means to say that we have now two different stages of the Isser. One which is Zevach, meaning that's the 14th, that's Karban Pesach. And Zivchai, which is the plural of Zevach, which means my Karbanos. So that's a reference to all other Karbanos. And so that means that one is referring to the 14th, the other is referring to the rest of Pesach from 15 to 21. So Lamai Ilchasa Palgina Rachmana Mehadadeh Velo Kasav Zivchai. And why did the Torah now put that in two separate Pesukim? Lamei Marbizman Dika Zevach Lomechai VaZivchai. And that means to say that these two time periods are to be mutually exclusive. When you're on the 14th, so the Isser is only on the Zevach, meaning on Karban Pesach. And Bizman Daleka Zevach, and when there Karban Pesach is not to be brought, meaning from days 15 through day 21, where there's no Karban Pesach, but there is an Isser of Chametz, so Mechayev HaZivchai, so you're going to be Chayev on all other Karbanos. Okay, certainly it is not an intuitive way to arrive at this source for Rabbi Shimon. You gave me the Torah and you gave me a long time to try to figure out Rabbi Shimon. I would not have considered taking a yud and transplanting it from one word to another. It's certainly not an intuitive way to do so, but the Gemara says that's the Masorah in terms of how we know how Rabbi Shimon arrived at his conclusion. Just finishing up over here. Now, if you take your Karban Pesach, this is one of the examples of Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah. If you take your Karban Pesach and you shecht and moed, meaning anytime during Pesach itself, what we call Pesach, meaning from days 15 through day 21, and you do it l'shem Karban Pesach, you're going to be pater. Now, what does that mean? It means that because you shecht l'shem Karban Pesach, so what does that tell us regarding the Shechita? The Shechita is no good. Because remember, we did this yesterday in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon also happens to be of the opinion that a Shechita she'ena ru'uya, if the Shechita does not result in consumption, ena Shechita, it's not a Shechita. When you take your Karban Pesach and shecht it any other day of the year, and with the intent of shechting it as a Karban Pesach, you have disqualified it. And therefore, it's not a shechita, and therefore, you're not violating this isser. Good. That's what we saw in the Mishnah yesterday. The Gemara would like to use this point of the Mishnah as a referendum on another issue. And that is as follows. When you take your Karban Pesach and shechti any other day of the year, do you have to redirect it? Do you have to reroute it as a Karban Shlamim? Or is it understood in of itself that it's a Karban Shlamim? Good. This is the issue of Stama. And the Gemara now is going to make an observation from our Mishnah. Time edusha lo lishmo. So the reason why it's no good is because you converted it shelo lishmo. Meaning in the case in the Mishnah where it would work out is where you said while shechting it anytime between days 15 and 21 of Nisan is that you said shelo lishmo. Hastama pater. But stama, you would be pater. Meaning if you don't reroute it and you just shecht it with no intent, it still carries over the Karban Pesach intention. And therefore, it's going to be disqualified. And therefore, you're not going to be in violation of this particular law. The Gemara says, am I? But I don't really understand. Pesach, b'sharim Moshe Hashanah, shlamim havei. So, doesn't the Karban Pesach, any other day of the year, really become a shlamim? And shamas minei Pesach, b'sharim Moshe Hashanah, b'ayah akira. And if that's true, so what can we now say? Sounds like what we can say definitively is that the Karban Pesach, any other day of the year, it's not enough just simply to shecht it. You need an akira. It needs to be reassigned. It needs to be rerouted as a Karban Shlamim. And if you just shechted Stama, it still has the carryover of the Karban Pesach intention. That's what it sounds like from our Mishnah. So I'm Rabbi Chiya Bar Gamda, Nizrika Mipi Chabura. So Rabbi Chiya Bar Gamda, when discussing this issue, so he says, look, the whole Chabur, the whole group, meaning the Bnei Yeshiva, all came with the same approach, which is V'amru Kigon Shayu Balim Tamei Mesim V'Nidchem LePesach Sheni D'Stam L'Shem Pesach Kai. Now, the case of the Mishnah over here is very specific, and it's dealing specifically with the Karban Pesach, this particular Karban Pesach, where we know we're going to use it for Pesach Sheni. Meaning what happened was is that the owner of this Karban Pesach became Tamei, unable to bring the Karban Pesach for Pesach Rishon, and now is going to be pushed off to Pesach Sheni. In 1 month's time from now, so we'll be able to bring a carbon. Well, why designate another animal when you have this animal? Good. Now that you have this animal, so now this particular animal, if you want to shecht as a shlamim anytime during the 7 days of Pesach, now it needs to be rerouted. Because this animal, since we basically had it in our head that we're using it for Pesach Sheni, so that's why stama, it's going to be a carbon Pesach. But what we, and that's why this particular animal needs to be reassigned, rerouted. But what you can argue is that stam, if I, in a regular case where I wasn't earmarking this for Pesach Sheni, and now it's any other calendaric day of the year, it's not the 14th day of Nisan, we could argue that it gets rerouted on its own. Okay. So whether or not a Karban Pesach, any other day of the year needs an Akira, you have to verbally reroute it. Or is it simply good enough to just simply know that you're shechting on another day of the year and it default or converts over to becoming a shlamim? So the Gemara leaves that as an open-ended discussion. All the Gemara did is just simply say that our Mishnah is not necessarily going to prove one way or another. Okay. We start the next Mishnah. Next Mishnah is going to be a beautiful illustration of the Karban Pesach being brought in the Beis HaMikdash. I highly recommend, if you have any kind of picture aid, right, the Mechon Mikdash puts out beautiful pictures, you have any way to visualize to see this in terms of what it looked like, I highly recommend it. Also, basic ideas of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash would also be very helpful over here. But anyway, here's the Mishnah, Imsach and Samach Dalid, that's going to give us some details regarding the Karban Pesach as it's being offered on Erev Pesach. Pesach Nishcha B'Shosh Kito Chenamar. So the first point the Mishnah makes over here is that there are going to be three groups of people that are going to be coming in to the Azara in order to shecht the Karban Pesach. Meaning the entire Jewish people are going to be going into Yerushalayim in order to fulfill the mitzvah of the Karban Pesach. Now, not every member of every Karban Pesach has to be there. And the truth of the matter is even no member has to be there. You just simply have to give it over to the Kohanim in order for them to do the Avoda. But as far as the Yisraelim going into the Azar, whichever Yisraelim decide to go in, they're going to be going in three shifts. Three different groups. Shinamar and Nigamar says that we have the Mishnah says that we have a source for this. The Pasuk says, V'shachtu also, Kol Kahal Adas Yisrael, last week's Parsha, Kahal V'Eda V'Yisrael. So we have the Jewish people being described in three different classifications or three different groupings. The Kahal, the Eda, the Yisrael. And that means to say that you have to have three groups. Now, Nichnas HaKas Rishonin Nismale Azara. The first group goes in, and now the Azara is filled with people. Nalu Delasos Azara, the doors of the Azara now are closed. Tiku, Hiriu, Vitiku, you blow shofar. Tkia Trua Tkia. HaKohanim Omdim Shiro Shuros. The Kohanim are going to be in rows of Yadeim, Bezichei Kesav, Bezichei Zahav. And they're going to be having cups, bowls. These are the bowls which the Kabbalah Saddam is being done in. Gold and silver bowls. And what's going to happen now is that at the Shechit of the Karban Pesach, the bowls are going to be collected with the blood and going to be sent to the Mizbeach in order to be sprinkled onto the Mizbeach. Shur Shekula Kesef, Kesef Shur Shekula Zav Zav. Now, the rows are organized, meaning the Kohanim are going to make one rose of only Kohanim using silver bowls and another row using only Kohanim using gold bowls. So they would not intermingle, and on top of that, the bowls did not have a base to them, meaning that the bowls were concave on the bottom, and that is so that shemi yenichum v'ikare shadam. Because if there is any base to these bowls, you're gonna be tempted to put the bowl down, and then what's gonna happen is that the sitting blood is gonna congeal, and we don't want it to congeal. So therefore, to avoid that, so they made all these bowls for Kabbal Saddam to be baseless bowls. Shachar Yisrael v'kibal ha-kohen nasan l'chaver v'chaver l'chavera. The Yisrael shechs, the Karban Pesach. Gemara is going to comment on that. And the Kohen is mekabel the dam. Gemara is going to comment on that. Nosan l'chaver v'chaver l'chavera. And now what happens is that in the row, so the bowl gets passed now to the Kohen in the next in line, which is then passed to the next Kohen, et cetera, et cetera. All the way to get to the point where it gets to the Mizbeach. Umekabel es amalei umachzir es harekan. Now, these lines are going to be having bowls going in two directions. The bowls with the blood are headed en route to the Mizbeach. the bowls that are empty are headed back to the general shechting area. So Kohen HaKarov Eitz LaMizbech Zorko Zrika Achas Keneged HaYisod. The Kohen that is standing next to the Mizbech, obviously the Kohen at the end of the line that is most proximate to the Mizbeach, so he's going to be collecting the bowl with the blood. He's then going to be sprinkling it onto the base of the Mizbeach, and then that empty bowl is going to go now back to the in the other direction. Yatza Ba Kasrishan Minichnasa Kashnia. After the first group has concluded, then comes in the second group. Yatza Shnia Nichnasa Shlishis. And after the second group comes in the third group. Kemaisa Harishona Kach Maisa Shnia Vashlishis. Everything is repeated in the same format, meaning each group, each shift is going to look the same. Karasahala. And while doing the avoda, the presumably the Levium are going to be saying over Hallel. Im Gamrushanu. Now, if let's say they don't finish Hallel, so they'll just simply start again. Vim Shanu Shilshu. And then they will say Hallel a third time. So basically, for each grouping, it took the Levium about three rounds of Hallel. Alpha Bishlo Shilshu Miyamehem. Now, the truth of the matter is that never needed to get to the third round of Hallel, meaning that they were able to finish up within two rounds. Now, it'd be very helpful for us if we knew how long it took the Levium to sing one round of Hallel, just to give us an idea of how long one shift was. But anyway, basically somewhere between two to three rounds of Hallel. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Miyamehem Shokashu Shelo Higiyo La'avti Ki Yishma Hashem Mimnei She'ama Mu'atim. Now, by the time you got to the third shift, so you're talking about really the remainder of the Jewish people. Most of the Jewish people offer their Karban Pesach in shifts number one and two. So really what you have in the third shift is you have a small crowd. And so by the time the Levim got to Ahavti Ki Yishma, so already at that, and presumably round one, so they were already done. So that is a description of how small a crowd it was for that third shift. Now the way we just described it would be a weekday as much as a Shabbos description. Now on Shabbos, what happened in the Beis Hamikdash, meaning this Mishnah is not only giving us descriptions, but also giving us actual Maaser Shehaya. This is actually what happened. What happened in the Beis Hamikdash on Shabbos is that they would flush out the Azara. The Chachamim did not like it. Meaning what they would have is they would have running water through the Azara. And then in order to flush out, because the Azara was filled with blood, so what they would do is they would stop the drainage of that water. The water now would flood up the Azara and now open the drainage and allow all that water, all that dirty water to go out. So that's how they would keep the Azara clean during the week. And what the Mishnah just taught us is that they did that on Shabbos as well, although the Chachamim didn't approve. Okay, and right back in the fourth parak, we spoke extensively about the Chachamim disapproving at the end of the fourth parak. So over here, obviously the Chachamim's protest didn't stop them from doing it. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Kos Haya Mamale Midamat Arov Zarkus Rika Achas Agabe Amizbech V'lo Hodu Lo Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda would say that here's what they would do. After all the Karban Pesachs were shechted and you had all that blood lying around, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, you would take one bowl of the from the floor and you would sprinkle onto the Mizbeach. Why did Rabbi Yehuda have that done? So we've discussed this already numerous times throughout Shas, and stay tuned because the Gemara is going to explain why. If you know why, great. And if not, be patient, although not today. But we're going to explain what exactly Rabbi Yehuda benefits from doing that one last cupful of blood and sprinkle onto the Mizbeach. Ketzad tolin umafshitin. Now, how would you hang the Karban Pesach and how would you do afshata? That the animal after shechted had to have been flayed in order to remove the imorim. And this was done also in the Azara. So in Kulin Yishol Barzal, Hayukoven, Bekesalim Va'uva Amudim. So you would have these bronze hooks, that were in the walls and in the pillars in the Azara. Shebem Tolam Afshitan, and that's where you would hang and that's where you do the Hafshata. Right? Most of this cleaning activity was done on the north side of the Mizbeach. If you recall, you remember your Mishnayos in Midos and in Tamid. So on the north side of the Mizbeach, you had tables and you had hooks. And this is where most of this activity was done. Now, as you can imagine, there's a lot of people over there. There's a lot of Karban Pesachs over there. So anywhere where you cannot do Tliya and Hafshata, where you can't hang and you can't flay, meaning there's just no room on the tables, there's no room on the hooks, so Maklos Dakim Vechalakim Ayusham. Miniach Aktefa Vaktef Chaver Vitolam Afshit. So what you'll do is that they had these wooden poles, And what you do is you would just simply hang it on your shoulder and your friend's shoulder, have the animal now hanging off this now horizontal pole, being supported by both of our shoulders, and now you'll flay over there. Rabbi Elazar Omer, according to the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, as we now turn to the Amud Beis, Yedalid Shechalios B'Shabbos, let's say the 14th coincides with Shabbos, Meniach Yadol Katef Chavero, V'Yad Chavero Katefo. So we're going to do this without the wooden pole. I'll put my arm on my friend's shoulder. He'll put his arm on my shoulder. And now we have created a human pole of arms, two arms. And now what you're going to do is you're going to hang the Karban Pesach off of our two arms that are resting on one another. V'tolam Hafshit. And now, the animal will be hanging, and then you could do Hafshata. You can flay the animal. Why, according to Rabbi Eliezer, can we not use the wooden poles on Shabbos? So Rashi over here writes really, succinctly, top Rashi, eino yochol sakin hamaklos, because in the event that we don't have the poles available, so we can't make the poles. We're gonna touch on that point also later on as well. Karo, back to the Mishnah, third line down. Karo vahotzis imurim. So what you're gonna do now is you're gonna tear open the cavity of the Karban Pesach. You have to take out the imurim, the innards of the animal that are going to be burnt on the Mizbeach. Nasna b'megis, you take those innards, you put them in a bowl, v'hiktirim l'gabi Mizbeach, and they're going to be burned on the Mizbeach. These are the Amorim. Yatsa kasrishon v'yashva lo b'har Abayis. Now the first group exits, and they're going to be sitting on Har Abayis. Rashi points out over here, we're describing Shabbos, meaning on Shabbos, so you can't walk the Karban Pesach back to your house, meaning despite the fact that your house is going to be in Yerushalayim, or not your permanent home, but your temporary residence is going to be in Yerushalayim, but you can't walk back there on Shabbos. So what you'll do is you'll just simply wait around. Where are you waiting? So the first group will go to Har Abayis. So you're still within a walled structure, even though Yerushalayim itself is also a walled structure. Okay, we're going to come back and discuss that also at a later point in time. But you're going to be staying within the Har Abayis, and that way you're not going to be carrying the Karban Pesach. And Shnia Bechel, the Shnia is going to be in the area of the Chel, Vashlish is Bemkom HaOmedes. And the third group is just going to be staying put in the Azara until Shabbos is over. Now, once Shabbos is over, Chashecha Yatzav Vatzalus Pitzchayim. Now, what you could do is you could walk home with it, because now it is Yantiv without Shabbos. And now you could walk back to your, to wherever you're staying in Yerushalayim with your Karban Pesach, and Yantiv you're allowed to carry. Good. Okay, so that is a really brief but beautiful description of the Karban Pesach in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Gemara has a number of comments to make. Amar Rebbe Yitzchak, starting with the Gemara in Samach Dalam and Beis, in a Pesach Nishchad Ela Begimel Kito Shloshim B'nei Adam. So on this idea that there are three groups of Jewish people are going to be in the Beis HaMikdash, so it's going to be three groups. Each group in of itself is also going to be comprised of 30 B'nei Adam, 30 people, my time on. Kahava Ada Yisrael Mesafkalein Iba V'asachas Iba Zachar Zeh. Because although we know that the Torah wants us to shech Karban Pesach in groupings of three, but we're unclear as to whether or not the three groups come at the same time or they come in succession. We just simply don't have clarity on that issue. So Hilchos Mina Shosh Kito Shoshom Shoshim Shoshim Bnei Adam Diba Vasachas Haika Vi Bezachas Haika. Now, if each group is composed of 30, so now we're going to be covering both of these bases, meaning as a result of the fact that we're not sure, so what we'd like to try to do is we'd like to try to cover both. We'll have 30 people coming in per group. So if the requirement is to have three groups simultaneously, we have three groups simultaneously. A group is made up of 10. We have three groups of 10. Good. And if we do this two more times, meaning have 30 people come in two more times, so then if the requirement is to have it done in succession, it's done in succession. Hilkach bechamisha nami sagya. Now the Gemara says, now the truth of the matter is that you can now satisfy both positions even if you only have a total of 50 people. Now in just a moment, we're going to describe a lot more than 50 people involved in being in the Azar for Karban Pesach. But as a base minimum, 50 people. Why? Da'ayli ta'atn va'avdei. Here's what you could do. You can have 30 of the first group come in. So again, if it's all together, so we satisfy that position. Now, if we need succession, so Eile Asar v'Nafka Asara, Eile Asar v'Nafka Asara. So what you can now do is that keep 20 in there and replace them with another 10 and take out those 10 and replace them with another 10. So that's 30 plus 10 plus 10. That gets us to 50 people. And that's how now we can have satisfy both positions, either all three groups simultaneously or succession Zeh Achar Zeh. Okay. Nichnas Akas Rishona, the first group comes in and the door is closed. How are the doors of the Azara closing? Fascinating machlokas over here. Itmar, Abaye Amar Nin Alutanan, Rava Amar No Alintanan. We have a machlokas Abaye and Rava, whether or not the doors closed on their own, or whether you need to close the doors. Abaye is of the position that the doors closed on their own. Meaning, Benes, nobody closed the doors when the first group came in. So when the Azara hit capacity, so then, the door is just simply closed. That's Shita Zabaye. And Rav is going to tell you, Cohen was there responsible. He had a clicker in his hand. I'm exaggerating. And when the Azara has reached capacity, so then he closed the door. So my benayu kabener lemis mechanisa. And the Gemara over here says that the difference between the two is whether or not you could be stomach on a nes. Abai amar nin alutanan kamadailim alu v'samchinanisa. Fascinating Shitas Abaye right here tucked away in Psachim Daf Samach Dalin. Abaye's of the position that you can rely on a miracle. Somchan al anates. Okay, how far reaching does this position of Abaye go? Unclear. Is this a base of Mikdash Halacha? Is this general? It really is unclear, but that is Shitas Abaye. And Rav Amar Noal Antanan Velo Somchan Anisa. Now Rav will tell you, no, you can't rely on a miracle. The Hadinan. Now the Gemara is going to be quoting a Mishnah in Adios. And the truth of the matter is that we're just interested in the Mishnah vis-a-vis trying to clarify which position is correct. Did the doors close on their own, or was the Kohen responsible for closing the door? But meanwhile, from this Mishnah, a lot of interesting points over here in this Mishnah. Amar Rav Yehuda, Chaz V'Shom Shakavya Ben Mahalal Nisnadeh. We have a debate amongst the Tanayim, the later Tanaim, whether Akavya ben Mahalal, who was an early Tana, whether he was put in Nidui or whether he was not put in excommunication. So we have Akavya ben Mahalal, who was possibly excommunicated, and the later Tanaim are arguing about that. And Rav Yehuda's position is that he was not put in Cherem. She Nazara Nin Eles. Now we're reading the Mishnah over here super carefully, because the courtyard was not locked. Nin Eles. I'll call Adam Yisrael B'chach Mavir Eschait Akavya ben Mahalal. Like nobody other than Akavya ben Mahalal, meaning he was heads and shoulders above everybody else in terms of his chachma, in terms of his Yir Shamayim. So he was not put in Cherem. Anyway, what's the word that's used in the Mishnah? The word Nin Elis. So Abai Matar Zatame, Rav is Matar Zatame, Abai Matar Zatame, Ein Bazar Bishah, Shinin Allah Al Kol Adam Bishra B'chachma Vir Eschait Akavya ben Mahalal. Abaye, who quite frankly doesn't have to do a lot of explaining of the Mishnah pretty much reads like Abaye. Abaye will say that the doors closed on their own, meaning al yedei neis. And Rava matar zatame in bazar b'shashan olim osa akol yisrael b'chachma v'yira cheka kavya b'mahalo. And Rava will just simply say that, look, I know the word in the Mishnah was ninelis, but it just simply means that the doors were closed, but by somebody. Somebody closed the door, meaning it was not done al yedei neis. Okay, good. What exactly happened with the Akavya ben Mahalal? So the Gemara and Brachos and Daf Yutes. So we touched on this point back then, and it's the Mishnah Adios. The issue is Rashi over here goes over the sugya. The issue over here is in terms of the Mesota. So is a if let's say a Gioris was involved in a possible Sota situation, she's a Sota Suffolk, in which to say that she's going to be drinking the Mesota. Do you give the Mesota to a Gioris? Yes or no? And that was a discussion debate and an old debate. And it happens to be that positions of Shmai Vavtayon was, yes, you do give her the Mesota. Now it happens to be that Shmai Vavtayon themselves are Gerim. And Akavya ben Mahalal made a comment and he said, oh, they're Gerim. That's why their position is that the Gioris is allowed to drink of the Mesota. So it is a extraordinarily difficult statement made by Akavya ben Mahalal that these Tanayim, right, Shmaya Vavtayim, the Rebbeim of Hillel and Shammai, right, the fourth pair of the Zugos, of the five Zugos. So he was making a claim that their position was going to be tainted, was going to be distorted based on their own experiences and their own sensitivities. And Torah is objective and Torah is emes. And so that was a difficult statement made by Akavya ben Mahalal. And the question was he put in a cherem for that statement or was he not? And the later Tanayim debate over that issue. Right, a difficult debate to understand, meaning it was a historical fact whether he was or wasn't, and how could they be debating it? Not perfectly clear, but that's just a little bit of background over there for that particular issue. Anyway, there was no clear indication from that Mishnah whether the doors closed on their own, like Rava says, or whether a Kohen closed the doors like Abaye says. Tana Rabbanan. Me'olam lo nismach adam ba'azar chutz mi'pesach echad. Nobody was crushed. You can imagine the rush of people, the crush of people that went into Azara in order to Shachar and Pesach. And as we're going to see in just a moment, for that first group, so there was a significant interest in being a member of that first group, and nobody was crushed. Chutz, there was one exception. Chutz mi'pesach echad shayeh b'mei Hillel, during the days of Hillel, she'nismach bo zakein echad. One person was crushed, v'ayu korno so Pesach me'uchin. And they actually had a label for that particular Pesach, the crushed Pesach, where one person was actually crushed. Okay, right. For the most part, Siyata Dishmaya, the Nisim and the Mishkan. I'm sorry, the Beis Hamikdash helped, but one occasion it didn't help. Absolutely a tragedy, but no way to explain that from a hashkafic standpoint. Tana Rabban in the Gemara quotes another brisa pamachas bikesh Agrippas amach li teneinah b'uchlusa Yisrael. Agrippas wanted to make a count of the Jewish people. He wanted to make a census. Now, in of itself, by the way, that already is problematic. You're not allowed to count the Jewish people. You're not allowed to do a census. Okay? So, our first comment could be that Agrippas HaMelech was not highly sensitive to halachas and he wasn't necessarily, compliant. Okay, but that aside, so he wanted to count the Jewish people. So how did he do so? So Amar Leila Kohen Gadol Teinenecha B'Psachim. So the way we're going to count the Jewish people is that we're going to use the Karban Pesach as a method of counting the Jewish people. So Natakulya Mikol Echad Veninsu Sham Shisha Ribui Zuge Klayos Kiflaim Kiyotzim Mitzrayim. So the counting the kidneys. How many kidneys came out in the count? So there were 600,000 pairs of kidneys. That would be Kiflaim Kiyotzim Mitzrayim, two times the amount of the male Jews that left Mitzrayim, 600,000 left Mitzrayim, again, going back to last week's Parsha. So 600,000 left Mitzrayim, again, 600,000 men leaving Mitzrayim. That doesn't include the children, that doesn't include the women, right? So we could approximate about 2 million people leaving Mitzrayim. How many Karban Pesachs were there? So there were 600,000 times 2. That's 1.2 million Karban Pesachs. Chutz mitamei v'shaya b'derech rechoka. Now that doesn't even include the people who were tamei derech rechoka, meaning didn't bring Karban Pesach for that particular year. Now, in terms of trying to figure out what the population was, now each Karban Pesach was made up basically of an average of 10 people. So 10 people made up every Karban Pesach. So that means to say now that of the 1.2 million Karban Pesachs, so you now had 12 million people of the Jewish people. Okay. In terms of any type of historical corroboration, in terms of the number of population, I simply don't know. But anyway, we are describing obviously a huge amount of Karban Pesachs that are offered that year, right? The ability to shecht, that number of Karban Pesachs in the Azara on the afternoon. So it really is, it's staggering. It's certainly hard to imagine, right? Their system must have been so precise and so organized, and also obviously in the Beis Hamikdash, you also had a divine intervention as well. Anyway, needless to say, they did it, but it gives us a small window into the mass number, the sheer number of people that lived in Eretz Yisrael during the time of Bais Sheni and was involved in the offering of the Karban Pesach. Okay. Now to Kulia, the Gemara over here, you know the Gemara. This is a classic Gemara. Because as much as the story is fascinating, the Gemara, for what its purpose is, so the Gemara gets fixated on the halachic aspects. So now to Kulia, habaye akture. So the Gemara says, what are you doing counting the kidneys? The kidneys is part of the Yemurim. It has to go up onto the Mizbeach. It has to be burnt on the Mizbeach. So what are you doing taking a kidney in order to use as a method of counting? So the Gemara says, the Hadamakdilahu. So the Gemara says, well, we took the kidney, but at a later point in time, we then burned it. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Vaksi v'iktiru. Shalo yarev chalav shoze b'zeh. So you don't mix together imurim of various karbanos. The imurim of each carbon is burned independently on the top of the mizbeach. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we did is we took the imurim, we took the kidneys, but then later we reunited it with its other kidney. Okay, practically speaking, it's kind of hard to imagine, but anyway, so the Gemara says, now wait 1 second, even that is not going to be enough, because all the imurim have to be burnt together, not just the kidneys, but all the imurim of every animal has to be going on the top of the mizbech as a unit. Ella, tfisa ba'alma d'shakaminai adi avin le midi achrine. So the Gemara says, okay, in the system of counting, it's so interesting that the Gemara it points out how much effort they made to make sure that the Haktaris Imurim was done correctly. And meanwhile, all this is under the context of accounting that shouldn't have been done, presumably should not have been done. Right? It's just, whatever. It's, there's a lot to process over here. But anyway, but be that as it may, the Gemara's point is that the, what they did is they simply picked up the kidney. And they, Rashi describes, they had some sort of pebble or whatever. They had a small pebble, and then they took the pebble and they put it into the jar. Okay, go, move on to the next kidney. And so by the end of the day, so they didn't have the kidneys, they had the pebbles, but they counted via kidneys. Okay, good. Kohanim omdim shuros, the Kohanim would be standing in rows, maitama. Now, you had two rows, and one rows of Kohanim would use gold bowls, and the other row would use silver bowls, and they wouldn't mix, meaning that the gold bowls and the silver bowls would not be in the same row. And the Gemara wants to know, my time, why should that be? So the Gemara says, well, maybe what's going to happen is you'll take gold and you'll accept silver, and silver is downgraded from gold, and what? And malim bekodesh vein moridin. That's the way Rashi understands it. And you'll be going up in Kedusha. And if you're getting now silver as an exchange for a gold bowl, so isn't that now a horada in Kedusha? So the Gemara says, if that's really the issue, do you know that all the bowls aren't exactly the same value? And you may give up a bowl that's worth 200, get a bowl of 100 in its place. The Gemara says it's not really a concern. So Ella Dahachi Shapritz Fei. The Gemara says it's just simply more aesthetic. It's aesthetically pleasing to watch one line of silver bowls, one line of gold bowls. It's just better aesthetics. It's beautiful. And in the Beis HaMikdash, they did go for a certain amount of beauty. This is true by any and all bowls in the Beis HaMikdash. Did not have a base to them. Now, with the one notable exception of the bowls that are used, that are placed next to the lechem aponim, those bowls are going to be sitting on the shulchan for the entire week. We don't want those bowls to spill. It's going to bump into the lechem aponim. It's going to deform the lechem aponim. So those bowls are going to have the base. Those are the notable exceptions. Shachi Yisrael v'kibel hakohen lo sagid al v'Yisrael hu gufa. So the Gemara says over here now, who's doing the shechting of the Karban Pesach? Armish describes a Yisrael. The Gemara says, it has to be Yisrael? So the Gemara says, no, it doesn't have to be. Kamashmalam, deshchita bazar kshira. V'kibel akon, kamashmalam, mikabala ba'elach mitzvah kuhuna. So what the Mishnah is teaching us is the following, is that if Yisrael wants to do the shechita, he may do so. Right? A point that we go over numerous times, but here's one of the main sources of the Gemara. Right? Back in Zvachim, it was really the Zvachim Yudalid. Right? I cheated. I looked at the margin. But the Gemara in Zvachim Yudalid gives us it. You'll remember how exactly we know that shechita could be done by a zar, by a non-kohen, and that's valid. So there's a Rashi over there, there's a Tosus over there, good. So there's a number of explanations in terms of why it is that shechita is kasher bazar. But meanwhile, it is shechita is kasher bazar, non-kohen could do the shechita. However, the next step of the avoda, kabbalah sadam, that can be and only can be done by a kohen. So nosnu chaver shamas minah, Halacha shlo berekel havia halacha. One more point the Gemara wants to go over, and that is that when the bowl gets to the last coin in the line, so he presumably is right next to the mizbeach, and now all he needs to do is just spritz from there. Now the Gemara is bothered by the fact that he's spritzing from there. He's not walking the bowl over to the mizbeach. Isn't there an avoda called halacha? The answer is there is, and doesn't that mean that you have to walk? And the Gemara says, can we conclude from here that halacha can be done without walking? And it was a major discussion back in Zvachim. So the Gemara says, Dilma hu naid porta. So the Gemara says, well, you could stand there and you can shuffle your feet just a little bit, right? And basically a step towards the Mizbeach, and so the halacha can be done with a step. So then why are we having all these Kohanim involved? And the Gemara introduces us to an idea of Rav Am Hajas Melech, that we want multitudes, right? There's more honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when things are done in mass, right? This idea of Rav Am Hajas Melech, a major topic of discussion in terms of its many, many applications. Okay, Kibbal Samali, Umach Zerekan, Aval Ibchalo. Now, you'll notice that as a Kohen standing in line, so he's going to be simultaneously doing two jobs. He'll be bringing the full bowls or passing the full bowls in the direction of the Mizbeach, and he'll be then passing the empty bowl in the direction of the Makom HaShechita. And you'll note in the Mishnah, the order is very clear. First pass the full bowl, then pass the empty bowl. Now, Misayel the Rebbe Shimon Malakish, Damar Shimon Malakish, and Mavir Nala Mitzvos. And to that, the Gemara says very simply, we have another concept, which is, you have a mitzvah opportunity. Now, obviously passing the empty bowl is necessary. But in terms of right now, you're a Kohen standing in line. So what should you do? Should you first take the full bowl in the direction of the Mizbech or take the empty bowl? The full bowl is right now the mitzvah of Zrikas Adam. You are facilitating, you're involved in the mitzvah of Zrikas Adam. So that's a mitzvah. So that should be done first. And then the passing of the empty bowl should be done second. Good. Because of the principle of Ein Ma'avir Nala Mitzvahs. If you've been following in those last 10 lines of Gemara, we just covered Ma'am B'Kosh Ve'in Moridin, Rov Am Hajas Melech, and Ein Ma'avir Nala Mitzvos, right? We just covered three major topics in all of 10 lines of Gemara. That's pretty amazing. Let us recap our daf today. The first issue that we covered is conclusion of the Gemara's discussion regarding the Isser in the Torah of not Shechting Karm Pesach while in possession of Chametz. A discussion of whether or not it includes Malika Sa'of. According to Rabbi Shimon, it does, but only from days 15 through 21. Does it include Maktir Imurim, a Kohen burning the fats while in possession of Chametz, Machlokis Tanayim, as we now are already on the top of Samach Dalam and Aleph, sourcing for the Shitas of Rabbi Yehuda, sourcing for the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, and then a quick discussion in the Gemara that when you shecht your Karban Pesach any time after the 14th, do you need an Akira? Do you need to specifically reassign it, redesignate it? Or is it just simply enough that you are shefting on another day, not perfectly concluded in our Gemara? Our Mishnah seems to be speaking on that issue, but not necessarily. Then the Mishnah on Samach Dalamad Aleph here in Pesachim at the end of the fifth parak goes into a beautiful detail regarding the Karban Pesach as it was offered. Some various halachas regarding how to structure the Jewish people, how to group them in three groupings, how shofar was blown. The Kohanim would be standing in rows. Delivering the blood in a long line of Kohanim, a fireman's ladder of Kohanim, delivering the blood to the Mizbeach, then sending the empty bowls back to the Makom HaShechita. The first group, second group, third group, the door shutting on each one of the groups. The practice that's done in terms of the saying of Halal and how many rounds of Halal they would go through each group. Third group, not even covering halal, not even one time. And how do you flay the animal? All these details are presented in the Mishnah. The Gemara makes a number of points as we are on the top of Samach Dalam and Beis in terms of our Chazara. So in terms of the three groups, it's unclear whether you need three groups in there at one time or the three groups have to be done in succession. And what we try to do is we try to formulate in a way where we satisfy both positions. Big discussion in the Amud Beis. When the door is closed, is that happening in of itself on their own, Ayyadei Nes? Or are we closing the doors? Machlokus Abai and Rava, Abai says, Somchan ala Nes, and Rava says of the position, Ein Somchan ala Nes. And we try to quote a Mishnah in Adios, which would speak to this issue. Two quick anecdotes of two particular Karban Pesachs that occurred, presumably both of them during Bai Sheni. Second one, certainly during Bai Sheni. First one, also presumably during Bai Sheni as well. One is where on Rachmanas, a person was crushed, but this happened just one time, and it was with one zaken. A person was crushed based on the sheer number of people that were in the azara. And the second story is that Agrippus wanted to use the Karban Pesach as a way of doing a census of the Jewish people, and he counted them via the number of kidneys that were collected from each of the Karban Pesachs. And the Gemara got involved in details in terms of how he did that. The kidneys part of the Imurim have to be burnt onto the Mizbeach. In terms of the Kohanim, standing in rows, why are the two rows, one is made up only of silver bowls, and the other one made up only of gold bowls? And the answer is actually very simple, aesthetics. The bowls not having bases to them, one notable exception, the bowl that was placed on the Shulchan with the Lechem upon him. The Shechita can be done by Yisrael, doesn't have to be, but can be done by Yisrael. From Kabbalah and onward, has to be done by a Kohen. Why we have rows of Kohanim? Why is it a fireman's ladder? Ravam HaJas Melech. Why is it that when the Kohanim pass the bowls, first you pass the Mali, then you pass the Chaser? The Chaser? Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvos. Adkan.